The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. Well, after last night's Thursday night football game, it's kind of starting to look like the Seattle Seahawks are coming back down to earth, and they may still make the playoffs. They're obviously still in contention, but, I knew that they were definitely impressive this year, but I didn't think they were like a legit playoff contender, like they're going to make some noise in the postseason, and yeah, now they're starting to come back down to earth, especially after last night's game. 49ers pretty much dominated them from start to finish. They got the win 21-13. Kind of sounds like it was a close game, but for the most part, the Niners really just, they had the momentum the entire way. Their defense played great in this one. Brock Purdy had another solid outing. He went 17-26, 217 yards and two touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey, he ran for 108 yards and one touchdown. And it seemed kind of like the Seattle Seahawks defense forgot that George Kittle existed, because the dude had 93 yards and two touchdowns. And those two touchdowns he had, he was basically like wide ass open. He made some big plays, and there was one in particular, the second touchdown he had. I was like, is anybody going to guard him? It was pretty ridiculous, because, you know, Kittle is an excellent tight end. So, yeah, to leave that dude wide open, I don't know how they do it. But they did, and the 49ers have now clinched the NFC West, so they definitely already won their division. They've got a playoff spot in lock, and yeah, it wasn't looking good for Seattle, but Niners had another solid outing. This in Week 15 begins the Saturday game, so this is what we refer to as now we are in football heaven, because, you know, we get Thursday night football. And then Saturday, we get three games straight, so it's a full day of football. Then we get, of course, Sunday football, and then Monday football. So it is just football, football, and more football, and I am here for it. So let's get started with the Saturday games, beginning with the first game, the Indianapolis Colts at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Vikings are a 4.5-point favorite, and I just kind of have a feeling the Vikings are just going to come out and absolutely dominate the Colts. Colts are not a good team at all. They do have some bright spots. You know, Jonathan Taylor could possibly score some points for them, but I think overall this is just going to be Minnesota Vikings domination. They have a ton of weapons on the offensive side of things. Kirk Cousins has actually not shit the bed at all, at least so far. He's actually had a pretty solid season, and even in the losses that they've had, he's not really the reason why. It's actually mostly just their defense has been crumbling, and their offense has been stellar. They actually have one of the best offenses in the league. So I expect them to actually blow out the Colts 30-17. Then the Baltimore Ravens are at the Cleveland Browns. Right now the Browns are a 2.5-point favorite. Lamar Jackson will not be playing in this game. It looks like it's going to be Tyler Huntley's going to get the start yet again. And while the Ravens defense has finally started to get better with the addition of Roquan Smith a few weeks ago, I still think they're on the offense, they're just struggling, and they really haven't been that good even prior to Lamar Jackson getting injured. Now you turn that to the other side of the ball here, and the Cleveland Browns just suck. Deshaun Kutson, he is just looking like the crappy quarterback he should look like after missing a year and a half of football. He really hasn't clicked with anybody, and that's not saying he won't ever, but it's just he really has looked horrible. But I kind of have a feeling this is going to be, you know, this is a division matchup, so it's probably going to be a good game. I expect it to be a low-scoring game. I don't really see any team really running away with this one, although I do think the ground attack is going to be the important key to this game on both sides for both teams. Baltimore, they got J.K. Dobbins back last week, and he really took the load of the entire offense last week. So we'll see if he ends up doing the same this week. But I feel like the Browns are going to do that too. They need to get back to running the ball with Nick Chubb, because they actually win when Nick Chubb has really good games. And they do have a pretty solid defense. And like I said, you always step it up for your division matchups, your division rivals. And so I actually think the Browns are going to get the win 20-13. Then the night game is going to be the Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. Right now the Bills are a 6.5-point favorite. The last matchup actually ended up being just a crazy game, back and forth. This one I feel like is going to be a little bit different. It is in Buffalo. It is expected to snow. The Dolphins are coming from Miami, and they even had heaters on last week on the sideline of last week's game, and they were in L.A., and it was in the 50s in L.A., so they're going to be pretty cold in Buffalo. But I feel like this one's going to be a different story this time around. I think Buffalo is going to dominate for the most part. I don't think they're going to run away with it, like just outscore them out the building. If it ends up snowing, I feel like weather is always plays a factor, and you don't usually have high scoring games in that case. I feel like it's going to be a ground and pound for both teams. Miami doesn't do that well. They do have a ground attack, but it really hasn't been that potent these last couple of weeks, and they really have gotten exposed as well. I think the Buffalo defense is just going to take care of business this time. I think they're going to get at Tua, and I think they're just going to have the obvious advantage being at home. They play in this weather, and they probably want revenge for that last game, and I have the Buffalo Bills winning this one 28-20. Then the Sunday games, in the early games, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the Chicago Bears. Right now, the Eagles are a 9.5-point favorite, and I don't expect this game to be much of a game. I feel like the Eagles are just going to absolutely dominate Chicago because Chicago's not a good team at all. I feel like Philly's just going to get another big win, 28-10. Then the Atlanta Falcons are at the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Saints are a 3.5-point favorite. Both these teams are pretty terrible. They really don't have much to play for, although they are in the NFC South, and pretty much every team in the NFC South is really in the playoff hunt right now. But the Falcons actually, they benched Marcus Mariota last week, and then he threw a crybaby temper tantrum and literally left the team and went and got some type of knee surgery that the team didn't even realize he had some type of knee injury. He claims it's for some chronic condition. It could very well be, but it's pretty, to me, you sound like a big fucking baby when you lose you lose the starting position, and that's how you react, because you're not the first person in this league to lose your starting position. Hell, I haven't got to this game yet. Actually, it's the next game I'm getting to, but Zach Wilson's going to be playing this week for the Jets due to injury, but still, he got benched, and he could have thrown a crybaby temper tantrum like Marcus Mariota's doing, and he didn't. He's getting another opportunity to start, and who the hell knows what happens this week with the Jets, but that's the way Mariota should look at it. And it's not like Marcus Mariota's some fucking fantastic quarterback. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, we need him on our team. Like, come on, dude. You play for the Falcons. You're lucky you were even starting at all this year, because we all pretty much expected you to not even really be in the league anymore or just a backup. So homeboy's running away crying. And so you've got those issues in Atlanta. And then the New Orleans Saints, man, I don't know what the hell they're doing at quarterback. I mean, either option, it's shown to, it doesn't matter. Jameis Winston sucks. Andy Dalton sucks. But this is a division matchup. I think it's going to be a low scoring affair. But I do have the Saints winning. I'm just leaning towards the Saints because they're at home. I've got the Saints winning 17-10. The next matchup is the Detroit Lions at the New York Jets. Right now, the Jets are a 0.5-point favorite, so it's a very evenly matched contest, if you ask Vegas. And, as I said, Zach Wilson's getting another shot this week due to the Mike Williams rib injury. He wasn't cleared to play, so Wilson's getting the start again. Detroit has been surging. They've actually been playing really well, especially in the offensive side of the ball, but the defense has really got it going also. But I think it's going to be a different story for them this week. They're not really good on the road, and they're really not good in cold weather situations. And the Jets, they're going to be at home. They play great defensively, and I feel like that's what's going to happen here, is they're just going to lock it down on the defensive side of the ball. Zach Wilson's not going to be asked to do a whole lot, and I think the Jets are going to get the win, a close win, 23-21. Then the Pittsburgh Steelers are at the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the Panthers are a 2.5-point favorite. The Steelers, they have been just a very boring, vanilla team this year. They're not very good. You never know what you're going to get from them. They have had a few good wins, but overall, they're just a really bad team. Carolina Panthers, not a good team either, but they play with a lot of heart. And they really have turned things around since Steve Wilkes has taken over as the head coach. So I just kind of feel like with the Panthers surging, and they have a lot more going on, the Pittsburgh Steelers just offensively, they're one of the worst in the league. So I really don't see how they're going to really score much in this game. So I have the Panthers winning this one 21-10. Then the Dallas Cowboys are at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Cowboys are a 4.5-point favorite. And I expect the Cowboys to bounce back from last week's game. I don't think they're going to overlook the Jaguars at all, nor should they, because the Jaguars are surging, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But I just kind of feel like Dak's going to put together a good game. The ground attack's going to be way too much for the Jaguars' defense to stop, because they don't really have much going on defensively, so I don't think they're going to be able to really stop the Cowboys' offense. And then the Cowboys' defense, while I don't think they're going to allow like no points, I think they're going to be able to do enough to make sure that the offense is set up in good field position. And I really kind of feel like the Jaguars might score some points in the end with the Cowboys already having a pretty decent size lead. So I have the Cowboys winning 31-20. Then the Kansas City Chiefs are at the Houston Texans, and right now the Chiefs are a 14.5-point favorite. And you know, the Texans, they have played some pretty close games this year, including last week, but they're just not a good team at all. And the Chiefs, they are a good team. And I just kind of see their offense just lighting the Texans on fire and this not being much of a game. And I have the Chiefs winning 41-10. Then moving on to the afternoon games, we have the Arizona Cardinals at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are a 0.5-point favorite. Both of these teams just flat out suck. There is nothing good to say about either one of these teams. So that means it's probably going to be a close game. In my opinion, it's probably going to be a low-scoring, ugly game where it's just filled with field goals. And I have the Broncos winning solely because they're at home. And just the Cardinals are just an awful team, too. I mean, it's really, this is just the battle of the shit. And so I have the Broncos winning 17-13. Then the New England Patriots are at the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, the Patriots are a 0.5-point favorite. This, of course, is Bill Belichick versus Josh McDaniels. I mean, both teams are pretty bad, actually. I mean, yeah, the Patriots got a pretty decent win last week, but they don't do that often. And the Raiders are just known for playing really close games and either having their hearts ripped out or ripping somebody else's heart out. That's just pretty much been their forte all fucking season long. So you really don't know what to expect from either team this week. I feel like McDaniels is going to step it up just because, you know, it's Belichick. And he's going to want to kind of show that, hey, I can out-coach you. And with New England getting the win last week, I kind of feel like that means they're going to lose this week. And so I have the Raiders winning a close one, 23-16. But, I mean, really, this game could go either way. Then the Tennessee Titans are at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now, the Chargers are a 1.5-point favorite. And the Titans are just looking like shit right now. Even going through Derrick Henry has not really worked for them. He had a solid game last week, but it didn't really matter. And I just kind of feel like they're running into a Chargers team who's been up and down all season, but they are coming off of a big win last week. They are at home, which doesn't usually say much. As a matter of fact, it's usually funny to watch LA games, both Rams and Chargers, because for the most part, it feels like the away team has more fans than the LA fan base does. And that goes for both teams. They act like the Rams have this huge fan base, and they don't either. Although the Titans aren't known for their fan base, but it's usually just funny because home field advantage doesn't really matter for the LA teams. But anyways, I just kind of feel like Justin Herbert's going to have a really solid game. The Chargers defense, they stepped it up and had a really good game last week, and I feel like they're going to do that against the Titans this week. Because other than Derrick Henry, they really have nothing going on offensively for the Titans. So I have the Chargers winning 27-17. And then the last afternoon game is the Cincinnati Bengals at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Bengals are a 3.5-point favorite. And I've pretty much given up on the Buccaneers this season, both the Buccaneers and Packers. I've pretty much given up on them. I want to say about a month ago, I could just tell it was not going to be where, you know, they were just working out the kinks and that Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers was going to turn it around for their teams and they were going to go somewhere. Nah. Now, the Bucs are still in line for the playoffs and more than likely they're going to win their division. But even so, they're probably going to be bounced real quick. And I really don't see them bouncing back this week because the Bengals' offense is really fucking good. And they are just on fire right now. And I don't see any answers that the Buccaneers are going to have for them on the offensive side of the ball and defensively. I mean, I just don't really see it from the Bucs. They really aren't playing well. And the Bengals are in the opposite direction. So I actually think the Bengals are going to do basically what the Niners did to the Bucs last week. And I think it's going to be an ass-kicking by the Bengals, 30-14. And then the Sunday night matchup is the New York Giants at the Washington Redskins football team Commanders. Right now, Washington is a 4.5-point favorite. The Giants, they're just looking like I thought they would look like. I felt like at the beginning of the season, they were really just getting those lucky wins, which it happened. But they didn't really have an identity. They didn't really have a good team. And that's been starting to show, especially over the last month for them. Washington, I don't think they're that good of a team either, but they're playing with a lot more heart. And they do get Chase Young back this week, which is not a good thing for the Giants because offensively they've really been struggling. And although the last matchup ended in a tie, I feel like Washington's coming in with a little bit more momentum on this one. They are coming off of a bye week as well. So I think they had a little bit more time to prepare. And I do have Washington winning a close one, 21-14. Then we had another free agent signing yesterday. Kind of pissed me off. Carlos Rodon signs with the New York Yankees for a 6-year, $162 million deal. Rodon was pretty much the only good thing about the San Francisco Giants last year. And I'm kind of pissed off they didn't re-sign him. But I don't blame him for going to the Yankees because now the Yankees are a legit World Series contender, in my opinion, because now they have the starting pitching. They've always had the lineup. The lineup, the hitting, the batting order has been good, especially last year. But the batting order, ain't no issues with that. Defensively, not really any issues with that. It's been the pitching, the starting pitching. And the bullpen actually wasn't that bad last year, but the starting pitching, beyond Cole. Yes, Cortez had a good year as well, but I mean, it's like they were just missing, they were missing definitely some more, they just needed some more heat in the starting pitching category. And Rodon really completes this starting pitching. I mean, now you've got Cole, Cortez, and Rodon, and these are workhorse pitchers. So got to look out for them Yankees next year. They are going to be a legit World Series champ. Are a legit World Series contender next year, especially with this signing of Carlos Rodon, because that dude is an excellent fucking pitcher. And then moving over to the NBA, Steph Curry, it looks like he's going to be out a few weeks for the Golden State Warriors. He injured his shoulder the other night in the game, and looks like he's going to be out at least 2 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, so he's probably going to miss the next month of basketball. And with that being said, now that we're getting closer to Christmas, this is more the time of the year when more people do start paying attention to basketball. So let's just see who some of the league leaders are right now at this current point in time, now that we have about 2 months of basketball under our belts. Leading the lead in points per game all season has been Luka, but not now. Joel Embiid has pushed his way to the top, and he currently leads the league in points per game with 33.3 points per game. Look out for the 76ers and Joel Embiid. They started off the season pretty cold. Well, not him, but the 76ers overall. But this team's starting to get hot, and with this dude looking this good again, 76ers are probably not going to be a team you want to fuck with come playoff time, if they stay healthy, of course. Then leading the league in rebounds per game is Los Angeles Lakers' Anthony Davis. He's leading the league right now with 12.4 rebounds per game, which is freaking awesome. He's been on a tear this last month, finally. But Lakers still suck, so that kind of sucks. But whatever. At least he hasn't got injured yet, We'll see how long that lasts. Then leading the league right now in assists per game is Tyrese Halliburton with the Indiana Pacers. He's averaging 10.6 assists per game. Then leading the league with blocks per game, Brooke Lopez of the Milwaukee Bucks with 2.8 blocks per game. And then leading the league in steals per game, OG Anunoby of the Toronto Raptors. He is averaging 2.4 steals per game. Leading the league right now in field goal percentage is Claxton with the Brooklyn Nets. He's got a 73.3 field goal percentage right now, which is phenomenal. Three-pointers made, that would, of course, be Steph Curry leading the league right now with 131. And then three-point percentage is Brogdon with the Boston Celtics. He's got 48.4 three-point percentage right now. So that's the NBA, and if you're watching it, it's getting pretty crazy right now. There's some teams who are having some crazy winning streaks right now. The Grizzlies have the longest winning streak in the league right now at 7, and so they're just on fire. The Pelicans have cooled off a bit, but they're still a damn good team. Celtics are still looking good. So we'll see what happens with the rest of the NBA season, because now it's going to get real competitive. And with Steph Curry getting injured, that's a huge blow to the Warriors, who have already been kind of struggling this year. You know, they've slowly started to work their way back up into the ranks of being a legit contender. But with the Steph Curry injury, we'll see if that sets them back, because he has been their leader. And the reason why they've won all those championships and made it to the finals all those years. So we'll see how they're able to overcome that. All right, moving on to the top five list this week. Since, you know, I did mention that Mike Leach, the coach of Mississippi State, he ended up having a heart attack earlier in the week. And I mentioned that he had great quotes throughout his entire career as a coach. And so I decided today's top five list is going to be the top five Mike Leach quotes. And it was actually kind of hard to whittle this down, but I found five that I believe are gems. So let's get it started with number five on my top five Mike Leach coach quotes. Now, one thing that he was known for is that sideline reporters would always like to ask him his thoughts on marriage, because usually he would tell them to elope, because every woman that you know is going to go insane. And they're going to bother you until the wedding day happens. And so that was always something he would say. And so I did find one of his quotes in particular to getting married. And this was a sideline reporter asking him what he should do to have a very happy marriage, or to have a happy marriage. And one thing he said, and this is Mike Leach's quote, he says, "You have to stay out of the way. I wish you a very happy marriage, and I'm sure you'll have one, but I'm just telling you, when it comes to marriages, women lose their minds. Your fiancé is going to lose her mind. Your mother-in-law is going to lose her mind. Your mom is going to lose her mind. Several of your sisters and female relatives are going to lose their mind, and they're going to barrage you with constant questions." That was pretty typical for him to answer wedding questions like that, and it was always hilarious when he would say shit like that. Then at number four on my top five Mike Leach quotes, there was a time there when he coached Texas Tech in 2004. They played Nebraska, and the final score ended up being 70-10. And he was asked after the game what his thoughts were on running up the score against Nebraska, because it's always funny to me, and he does make a very valid point with his quote that I'm about to get to. But it's always funny to me that, like, people get really upset when football teams just, like, blow another team out of the building. And they're, like, expected to, like, oh, not score that much. And they're expected to just, like, kneel the ball and just let up on the other team. When in other sports, they usually don't do that. And that's basically the quote right here from Mike Leach. He said, "The interesting thing about football is that football is the only sport where you quit playing when you get a lead. In golf, you keep trying to score well when you're ahead. In basketball, they don't quit shooting when they're ahead. In hockey, they don't quit shooting when they're ahead. In boxing, you don't quit punching when you're ahead. But in football, somehow magically, you're supposed to quit playing when you're ahead. Well, I don't subscribe to that, and I don't do it like that. And you know, the truth of the matter is, Nebraska never has either." So not only was he saying that y'all need to shut the fuck up about that, But Nebraska needs to get over it, because if Nebraska were put in the same position, they would have kicked their ass 70-10 if they could do the exact same thing. And you know what? Mike Leach is right. It's fucking true. So what? If you lose 70-10, maybe you should play better. Then at number three on my top five Mike Leach quotes, this one is about, this was also when he was the Texas Tech coach. And this was in response to Texas A&M fans, who are known as Aggies. And they were acting like they were the better fans over Texas Tech fans. And so this is what Mike Leach had to say about that. It's interesting to me that all these Aggies, whether they're at A&M or here, are sitting around with halos over their heads and they have some divine expertise on fanmanship. I just don't believe that's the case. For the record, I think our fans are better than the Aggie fans. Boom. So not only was he making fun of them and how they're much better fans because they know everything, but then he also had to get in the dig there that he thinks Tech fans are better than Aggie fans. I think Longhorn fans are better than both, so suck on that. Hook 'em horns, motherfuckers. Then at number two on my top five Mike Leach quotes, speaking of my Texas Longhorns, when he was the coach, once again, at Texas Tech, in 2002, Tech ended up beating the Longhorns, and this was actually when Cliff Kingsbury was the quarterback, and he was actually asked if he regretted not hyping up Cliff Kingsbury more. And this is his response. And I actually think it's just a perfect quote that encapsulates Mike Leach. And it goes like this. I don't even remember what I said. I hope whatever I said was cute and clever and maybe even a tiny bit humorous. I hope it wasn't mindless babble. And if it was, hopefully everyone will forget about it pretty quick. So that's a classic Mike Leach quote. But number one, I remember watching this in real time when he said it. Actually, it's something he's known for doing. Now, it's more just a jab to try and get under his player's skin. But he always had this awesome thing that he would say when his team would get their asses kicked. He would usually blame their fat little girlfriends. And he actually did this earlier in this season when Mississippi State, when they lost earlier in the season, he actually, he didn't say this direct quote that I'm going to say, but he did say something that his players are too much into their fat little girlfriends right now than to focus on winning a game. So this is just kind of something he's been known for, but it really originally started back in 2009 when Tech got blown out to Texas A&M. And I remember watching this on ESPN, and I still, to this day, when I was rewatching it, I just couldn't stop laughing because it was just fucking hilarious to see. So this was his response after Texas Tech lost to Texas A&M in 2009. As coaches, we failed to get through to them. As coaches, we failed to make our coaching points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends. Now their fat little girlfriends have some obvious advantages. For one thing, their fat little girlfriends are telling them what they want to hear, which is how great you are and how easy it's going to be. And we had a bunch of people who wanted to win the football game, but nobody wanted to play the football game. So yeah, the fat little girlfriends barb right there. Never got old. I fucking loved it. I'm actually surprised he didn't receive more backlash for it. I kind of think it's more just a lot of us liked Mike Leach, especially in the media, so they didn't really want to call him out on it, because that's just kind of what he did, was just say stupid shit. I mean, really, he had a lot of interesting quotes. He would talk about his pet raccoon. Apparently, he actually had a pet raccoon, and he was apparently obsessed with raccoons and liked to, like, follow them, and yeah. No, the dude was very interesting, but the fat little girlfriend's quote, oh, watching that press conference live was absolutely hilarious. And I thank Mike Leach for all of the great quotes that he had over the years. And so, yeah, that's today's show. I hope you all enjoy the amazing weekend of football, and more football. And I will talk to you fools on Monday.